Marhaba, and welcome to the Matrix Green Pill, where real people connect.
Hello and welcome back to the Matrix Green Pill podcast. My name is Hilmary Hutchison, and today I'm joined again by my lovely co-host, Shireen. Welcome, Shireen.
Hi, Hilmary. Another day, another excellent guest. We are excited to introduce to you Akanksha Menezes Nair, the founder of Tickle Tickle Organic Essentials. As a strong believer in sustainable living, Akanksha decided to use her passion for eco-friendly clothing, along with her experience in sales, to start her own 100% organic clothing brand for infants and toddlers.
Wow, I am so excited to be talking to another entrepreneur who has made a radical shift in her life and career to pursue her passion for sustainability and living a life free of chemicals, especially when it comes to clothes we buy for our children. Akanksha, welcome and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Emery. It's a pleasure. It's a complete pleasure to be a part of this. And I'm really glad that we are doing this today.
So as a start, can you please introduce yourself and tell our audience about your background and how you ended up here in the UAE?
My name is Akanksha, and I founded Tickle Tickle Organic Essential Clothing almost 2 years ago. It's been 14 years that I've been in UAE. I did my MBA here, post which I got my campus placement, and I've been working in the banking industry ever since. I quit 2 years ago to start Tickle Tickle. I have a five-year-old girl who is my inspiration behind my brand. And well, it's a beautiful journey so far.
Wow, that sounds lovely. So let's jump right into your journey as an entrepreneur. Can you tell us about your business and why you decided to start Tickle Tickle?
Tickle Tickle is my almost two-year-old baby, but it was conceived much before when my own little girl was much smaller. Trying to make a gradual shift in what I buy for myself and my little girl, I consciously started looking for brands and clothing that were sustainable, that were made without any harmful chemicals. And what I came across was quite surprising with the limitation of affordable choices, with the limitation of making sustainability as a part of your lifestyle rather than a one-time purchase, and the biases that involved with color. So when it came to girls, there were very limited color choices and they kind of put them in a bracket. When it came to boys, they did the same. Well, that kind of made me realize that one, sustainability shouldn't come at a cost where you just treat it as a one-time purchase. It should be more affordable. And secondly, children need comfort. They need comfort clothing. They do not need things that are ruffles or fitting, and they do not colors to define them. And that's where Tickle Tickle was conceived.
Amazing. And also, I really have to note that Tickle Tickle is a very interesting name. Is there a backstory to why you chose it?
Actually, it was love at first thought. So for me, Tickle Tickle is something which associates you to, it gives you the feeling of pure joy, the unfiltered giggles that you hear from children all the time. It's also one of those things that, you know, as parents, when we first, in those initial days, we want to hear a little bit of chuckle from our child. We tend to, you know, give that little tickle under the foot or a little tickle on the tummy. And we, you know, it's so much of fun to just watch them transform into those cute little giggles. So Tickle was a name that came from there and everybody loved it. My family loved it. I loved it. And it was no contest. It was one of those names that was first, it just came to my mind and it stuck. I did not even think twice to launch with that name.
Absolutely. It's a very cute name. Well done.
It's super adorable. Yeah. When I first heard it, I instantly thought like this must be something very cute and somehow related to children. It does kind of fit the brand. So great choice on that. Also, as you mentioned, you had a career in the banking industry for over 10 years.
That's right.
How was that for you? And was it hard to leave your comfort zone and start your own business?
So for me, when I came to Dubai, I of course came here to do my management study. And I had a campus placement with one of the top reputed banks who hired me as an assistant sales manager. Well, I was in sales profile all throughout. And I worked with three banks over my 10-year period in the banking industry. It was so good to be out there connecting with people, selling products that I truly believed in, meeting monthly targets, which is, you know, one of the cores of actually doing sales. And of course, working with teams. But there was a kind of part of me that wanted to do something on my own, and I wasn't really hitting on what I wanted to do. When my daughter was born, and with the whole quest of trying to find something better for her, is where I started to do my little bit of research to begin with. And I did not start Tickle Tickle then itself. It took me a good 8-9 months to actually form Tickle Tickle. One of the main reasons, it's never easy to get out of your comfort zone and start something new and something that is totally different from what you're doing. I never came from a business background. I have nobody in my family who has started a business. So it was very challenging to firstly convince myself that I can do it.
So you took a leap of faith.
Yes, a big leap of faith with the fact that also, you know, when you're used to working, you're used to that independence that comes with it. You're used to, you know, your monthly salary that comes with it.
The structure.
Yes, you're used to a certain structure. And to disrupt everything and to venture into a zone which is so new to you, it was a big challenge to me. And I think it's a big challenge to anyone.
It was very brave of you to do that, no doubt.
Yes. So, and I realized that at some point of time, if I really want to do this, there is never going to be a right time. You know, you're always going to have a job. You're always going to be comfortable in what you do. It could get better. It could get worse. But if you want to do something which is different, you have to take a decision at that particular time. You can't keep postponing and saying maybe later, you know, I can think about it a little later. That later never comes. That was one of the things that I did.
I feel like that relates to everything in life. For me, it relates to starting my fitness regime every time. I'm like, no, later, I'll start tomorrow.
I completely agree. And when it comes to fitness, I totally relate to you. So on the same page.
Well, I mean, it's incredible that you started. And of course, it is scary. And I'm sure, you know, there were challenges that you faced, but we'll come to that a bit later. I want to talk about your concept with, mainly, you know, how fast fashion is such a popular industry and the sales are clearly not plummeting and it's the big thing right now. But why did you feel the need to move away from that path and choose a completely different approach with Tickle Tickle?
I don't think fast fashion is going anywhere. It's always going to be there. These huge sales that you see with it is going to be there. It's going to be there because until you and me want it and go for it, it's going to be there. It only changes when people like us take a step to do something different. And for me, I wanted to start a brand where I am proud of, that I believe I am causing a positive impact towards the environment. I'm not causing more waste. I'm not making it even worse than what it currently is. And it is currently quite bad. There is no shortage of fast fashion brands, and they're doing nothing but contributing to the kind of environment that we're already facing so many challenges. The brand that I wanted to create was something where my child would be proud of me, where she would think that by making changes of 1% positive towards the environment, it's doing something good. I wanted for her to, and her generation, to believe that sustainability has to be part of their lifestyle. You know, it can't be exclusive. So that is where I decided to venture out into organic and organic clothing.
So we hear the words organic and sustainable used a lot and almost interchangeably sometimes. What would you say is the difference between sustainable and organic? And why do you think sustainable and organic clothing is so important?
What the common perception with most of the people is that skin is not as important as food. So when it comes to organic food, it's quite logical where people choose to buy better, you know, because they're consuming it. They believe that's what is doing good to your set. But when it comes to skin, you tend to ignore what you wear. You tend to ignore what's on the outside. But that's completely wrong. Our skin absorbs so much from the environment. That's one of the reasons why we take care of our skin in terms of skincare routine. We put the kind of creams we do because it absorbs. So why not clothing? Clothing is made from so much of chemicals. And most of our garments that we wear on a conventional basis is mixed with polyfabric. All these things get absorbed into our body over a period of time, you know, and causes the number of problems that we do come across later on when it comes to skin irritation, skin allergy. And for children, it's even more important because your skin is so sensitive, developing, it's so new. So for them, it is very easy to get rashes, to get skin irritation, to get problems that later on can cause a lot of harmful effects. For me, that is very important today, people to realize and create awareness when it comes to organic clothing. If it's not more, it is equally important as much as organic food. Actually, there is no real difference between organic and sustainability. Organic is part of being sustainable. Sustainable is supporting everything that makes sure that you can include it as part of your lifestyle. So it's not something that I think of doing today and then tomorrow I'm back to my usual regime.
That makes absolute sense. You make a lot of good points with babies being very sensitive and how we need to be more aware of what we're putting on them. And I really like the point that you made about, you know, how skin isn't prioritized as much. I guess in the sense of skincare, it is, right? Everyone's always talking about skincare, but not about what you're wearing and putting on your skin. So yeah, it is very important. And it is unfortunate that fast fashion has kind of completely changed the public onto their industry.
You're always tempted, you know, whenever you, and especially today with everything being online, it's so easy. It's, you know, you're just watching it there, some ads pop up and you tend to click and you tend to buy. It's that simple.
Okay, so you've been talking about organic and sustainable, and I want to know, how long did it take for you to find that perfect blend of materials for your clothes?
It took me quite a bit of time, to be honest, because firstly, when it comes to organic, it is important to verify your sources. Today, if you see, there are plenty of brands that claim to be organic. Whether they truly are is something very hard to find out. I made it a point to visit my manufacturers back home in India, visit the factories where my clothing is going to be made, look at certifications to see the authenticity of what they tend to do. It's not just one visit, it's multiple visits to these people, because a lot of them are very, very busy. They don't just work for you, they work for a lot of other brands too. It's very hard to get somebody who gels with you well, because a lot of them do not want to work with startups. They want to work with well-established brands where the processes are set, where people don't tend to ask them too many questions. When it comes to startup, because we are so passionately involved in what we do, we want to know, you know, the last bit of detail when it comes to clothing, the stitch, the buttons that is put on it, you know, everything. So to find that was very hard. I've been blessed to work with manufacturers now who I truly believe in what they do and how they're supporting the people who work with them too.
Incredible. And you're right. It's so important to ask these questions when you're starting out, because you don't want to be taken advantage of. And then also it can put your business in a bad position if ever at some point someone finds out something that you weren't even aware about that was happening at your manufacturers. I'm sure that you had some challenges earlier. So would you be able to let us know what were some of the challenges that you faced when setting up your business, apart from finding that perfect material?
I don't think challenges would ever end. There is always, at every step, there is going to be challenges. But for a startup, especially for an e-commerce startup, one of the major challenges is licensing. And UAE is quite complicated with the nitty-gritties that are involved with what kind of license you need, whether it's a free zone, whether it's the mainland, what are the associated costs. There are lots of hidden costs that are involved. It took quite some time to find the right license for my business. Secondly, logistics. When you work with most of your factories that are located in another country, shipping and logistics becomes a major challenge, especially in times of COVID, you know, which has been for the past year. It's been quite difficult with constant delays, with something stuck somewhere, and we have to move on with it. But these are some of the challenges that I have faced, and I'm hoping with time I get to learn a little bit and things improve.
So as you say, there's definitely a steep learning curve when you start out as an entrepreneur. So what tips would you give other startup entrepreneurs in terms of setting up their own business in the UAE?
To be very honest, I myself am quite new to all this, and I'm learning a lot from what I see around me. But the things that I realize that are very important, and for every new business to know, and people who are actually considering starting something their own, the first thing is to begin small, to take small steps initially. Ideas come very easy to you. You know, most of us have ideas, and most of us think, you know, that this is very nice, very unique, very different. And we tend to invest quite a bit at the starting stage, to only realize that after some time that things are not moving the way we want to. First thing is to start small and start smart. So, you know, do a little bit of research, start with understanding, talking to people, so talking to your peer group, talking to your family and friends, and testing waters to see what works, what's the feedback that they are giving you, and whether it's important to implement that kind of feedback. The second thing I realized, and I think every person who wants to start doing something on their own, is to start networking with fellow business owners, especially, you know, the local community. They are so helpful. There is so much you can learn with just listening to them and listening to what they have to say. There are a few mistakes that saved me from getting into doing those kind of mistakes because of the kind of advice I got, which was so amazing. They are very, very helpful. Most of the businesses over here are have had their own success and failures. They are very, very happy to share with you things that work, things that don't work. So it's important to network and be a part of business communities over here.
It's nice to know that community is so eager to help out other small businesses grow from their own experiences.
It is. You know, when you sit on the outside, you feel that, you know, people might not be approachable.
Intimidated, yeah.
Yes, it's intimidating. And you might feel that they're already way too successful for, you know, to bother talking to you. But it's so not true. You know, it's all about you being the first one to take the step and to open up and to actually discuss what you have in mind. And people are so helpful and willing to listen.
And, you know, actually, the reason, one of the main motivators for our podcast was to have people like you and entrepreneurs come on and share their stories so that other people could hear their experiences and learn off of their experiences. So for sure, I think it's very important to listen to other people's successes and failures to be able to create your own path with your own business, whatever it might be.
Definitely, it makes sense.
You've really taken on some big challenges and grown a lot in the last 2 years.
Yes, I think it was about starting. And once I took the step, then I didn't want to look back. I just wanted to keep moving forward. So about moving forward, it was working with a lot of people, collaborating and moving forward. Yes, it's quite a progress since the time I started. And I'm quite happy with how things have worked out so far.
That's excellent. Well done on your journey so far.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now let's talk a little bit about the future. Do you have some future goals, or what's next for you? What's on the horizon that you can share with us?
So at the moment, for Tickle Tickle, I'm trying to look at expanding it into the Middle East. At the moment, we're just UAE focused when it comes to all the Emirates. So we sell across UAE. We're trying to now expand a little into other Middle Eastern regions. And we're trying to find out a little bit about that. One of the main things that comes, that it comes to logistics, because it comes to how are you going to cater to the other country. But yes, that's a big major step that we plan to take soon.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Yes.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing all these super interesting tips. We've actually now come to the segment of our show where we will each ask you a couple of rapid fire questions. It's like a little game show that we like to play. So just first thing that comes to mind, go for it. We don't want you to think too long. Are you ready?
All right.
Okay. So Akanksha, who would be that one guest that you would like to invite for a dinner cooked by you?
My mom.
Wow. Really?
Oh, so sweet.
I was thinking you were going to say like a celebrity or something.
No, my mom. I mean, she's an excellent cook and I barely get occasions to cook anything for her. So if I do have that opportunity to do, I would definitely want to cook for her.
That's so sweet.
Lovely. What is your ultimate travel destination?
South Africa.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. It is beautiful. So good choice.
It's on my list.
Awesome. Okay. If you could go back in time and choose your own name, would you change it?
No, I wouldn't change it for anything. I love my name. I love what it means. I love the fact that it was so well thought of. It means desire. In Sanskrit. So it's a very, very meaningful name. I love it.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's a lovely name.
So what is one thing you do every day, no matter how busy you are?
The one thing that I do every day is I read a little bit. So I read any book that I've been reading, at least try and read 2 pages of the book.
Excellent. Well, that was it. Thank you for playing along. It wasn't so hard at all.
I'm so happy to have finished the rapid fire round.
So now before we wrap up, we would like to do our green pill moment. So Akanksha, what green pill advice would you give to your younger self?
Green pill advice that I would give to my younger self is, what took you so long? One of the things I regret is not starting the way I live my life currently in being more conscious about what I do, how I live, a lot earlier. So when you're younger, you're not concerned about things that don't affect you. And that is very wrong. And that is where I felt, you know, I should have started a lot earlier, being much more conscious about what I'm consuming and the way I'm living.
I feel like you shouldn't be so hard on yourself. It is tough when you're not aware or not made aware of all these things that are happening. I think we should just, once we do realize, we should do as much as we can.
That's true.
And you're doing that now. So I think you're doing an excellent job. And
thank you. Thank you.
I'm sure your younger self would be very proud of your journey. It's never too late to start.
I'm hoping that. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
And that's also excellent advice for our younger audience.
Right.
To not hold back, just to get started. not wait. Thank you so much for sharing your fantastic and inspiring story with us today, as well as the excellent tips that you shared with us. I'm so sure our audience will thoroughly enjoy this conversation as much as we have.
I'm so, so glad to be part of this, and thank you both for hosting this and making me feel so comfortable in talking about me and about TickleTickle.
It was really, really great. Honestly, I'm sure a lot of young entrepreneurs are going to be so inspired by your story and your advice. And just before we say goodbye, could you share your website for TickleTickle or your social media handles for where people could find you?
Yes. So our website is www.tickletickle.net, and our Instagram handle is realtickletickle. So that's R-E-A-L, tickle, tickle.
And we'll also be putting this in the show notes as well.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you again, Akanksha. It was so lovely to have you. We wish you and Tickle Tickle all the very best.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Emery. Thank you.
Bye.
If you enjoy our conversations, please like and subscribe. See you next Wednesday.